Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler and this is episode number 47. You can send an email to podcast at sightandsound.co.uk if you'd like to get in touch with us. We always love to hear from you with your feedback and comments. Now, coming up on today's programme, is the white cane dead? Well, a company in Mexico City have a technology called Strap that they believe will replace our trusty mobility aid. We'll be talking to Diego Rule all about it. That's coming up. Stay right where you are. Just before we bring on Diego, and he's waiting in the wings, by the way, I mentioned on our last episode that we were asking people just to hang on, hold tight for a little while in relation to Windows 11. There's been a lot of questions, a lot of discussion about Windows 11. Our tech support team have been getting loads of calls about Windows 11. A lot of people saying, can I install it? When can I get it? Etc., etc. What will work with it? We have been testing Windows 11, and our colleague and tech support, Tristram Llewellyn, in particular, has been testing Windows 11. Tristram's going to come on the next show. So we'll have another episode of this podcast in a little over a week. Tristram will be here to talk about Windows 11. And I'm really looking forward to that because there's a lot of things. I haven't used it myself, so I know nothing about it. It's probably a lot of listeners in this podcast who know a lot more about it than I do. We'll bring Tristram on. We'll have a chat with him and find out all about it. That's coming up on the next edition of the podcast. So if you have questions about Windows 11 that you want me to put to Tristram, send them in, podcast@sightandsound.co.uk, and I'll happily do that. There have been many innovations, or many attempts at least, over the years to enhance our traditional mobility aids with technology. We've explored them on this podcast in the past, and many of us are probably using them every day in the form of our mobile phones to give GPS information, whether we use a cane or guide dog or other low vision aids. But I've rarely seen anyone claim to replace a mobility aid totally. And that's what a new and innovative company called Strap, coming out of Mexico City, are claiming to do. And later this year, they're going to release Strap, which is a wearable piece of tech. And apparently, we're not going to have a white cane at all. I'm very nervous. And I have to say, before we start this, I'm very skeptical about it. But I'm very happy that Diego Rule from Strap, founder of Strap Technologies, is joining us on the podcast today. So, Diego, first of all, thank you for joining us on the show.
Stuart, thank you so much for the invitation.
Great to have you here. So, first of all, thanks a million for coming along. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and the company? Because it's very interesting, a very niche area to get into. How did you sort of even get interested in, you know, looking at or supporting how blind people can travel?
It's a good question, Stuart. Actually, it didn't start with a visual impairment, but it did start with some empathy when I was a child on the impairments. So when I was around 10 years old or so, I was in the supermarket with my mom, and I saw a person with a mobility impairment around. So he was like a 20-year-old in a walker. But along with the walker, he was like stroke survivor or something. So he has one of his arms paralyzed. And like shrink, so he had the elbow only to like outside the body. So he was grabbing the walker with one hand, and with the other hand he was a weird attachment from the elbow all the way to the handle of the walker, and was really weird. And honestly, it was the first time I saw like an impairment like that. Like I was in shock. I mean, I have seen wheelchairs maybe at the moment, but nothing else. I was not really aware on this impairment. So he caught my curiosity, and I kept staring at this guy. And at a certain point, he tried to grab an apple he had in front, but he has a terrible situation because he cannot use a paralyzed hand because of obvious reasons. And he couldn't use the other hand because then if he put the hand away of the walker, he will fall off because his legs didn't have that, like, the strength apparently, or the correct movement to be able to stand up like that. So he needed to ask for help to do something so easy for mostly of our audience, like grabbing something, right? And at that moment, I was kind of in shock because I was thinking of myself, like, wow, how is possible that something that is so easy to do for me, for this person, is nearly impossible?
And were you thinking, so because you were 10, you were in the supermarket with your mom, were you even thinking then, almost as an inventor, I wish I could do something to help him?
Yes, actually, yeah, just after looking at that and thinking about this, how easy it is for some people and so difficult for others, I actually promised myself to do something to be able for that mobility preparation to be able to grab the apple with the same facility that I can. So for this, a background, since I was like 7 years old, I started learning robotics. And I was robotics teacher for 6 years. I used to teach C programming, mechanics, lab view programming, pneumatics, electronics. And I have a huge background in robotics since I was a child. I went to the World Robot Olympiads. A lot of different robotics competitions. So I got a lot of international, national robotics experience, right? Doing robots, using sensors, like developing circuit boards, PCBAs, all the programming, etc. So when I was like in high school or so, I had a kind of a flashback of this memory I had in my when I was younger, like 6 or 7 years ago, and I decided to do some research on the web, right? I decided to do some research, and I found out that for mobility impairments, there's a lot of there, right? Like there's smart wheelchairs and a lot of corporations using millions of dollars trying to do exoskeletons and almost like Iron Man suits, right? But I don't even remember how, but I ended up with a visual impairment article from the World Health Organization stating that there are more than 300 million visual impaired people in the world, and every 5 seconds someone lost their sight. And I was super impressed, super, it was a shock for me as well. So I never thought there was so many people with this kind of impairment. I was not aware of this rate of growth the impairment has. And then I continued my research and I found out that the blind cane was invented in 1921. And honestly, as a tech guy, I was so shocked because all I think is how to do things more innovative and more reliable and more quicker.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. So you kind of you're looking at people who were using something, as you said, that was invented in 1921. We're all still using, I guess, different variants of that 1921 invention. And you were thinking maybe there's an easier way. So you've developed this. And if I was looking at the website yesterday. So you've developed this wearable piece of technology that, from my understanding, it kind of goes around your chest, and then and there's all sorts of vibrating haptic feedback around your body. Can you describe to us a little bit how it works and how it alerts you of things?
Of course, indeed, as you said, it's like a chest harness, like some straps around your shoulder and around your core. It's really discreet. You cannot actually it's if you don't know what it is, you actually think it's an accessory on your outfit. So it looks really discreet. It's really lightweight, really comfortable. And what we have is, imagine like a small hamburger burger in your chest, right? Like maybe below, just below the cut of the muscle or on the mouth of the stomach. So you have it right there. And it has a lot of sensors inside. We got LiDAR sensor, we got sonar sensors, we got ultrasonic sensors, a lot of them looking at all directions, the sides, upwards, downwards, in front, all directions, just not the back, right? So what they are doing is looking at everything that's happening around the environment, tracking people, dogs, tracking the floor, irregularities in the floor, the terrain type. They're looking at everything. And in case there's any possible collision for the user, we will notify what's happening and how to avoid the obstacle through a haptic language feedback we develop, which is embedded on the wearable. So inside the wearable, on the fabric and on the back part of the device, we have an array of haptic actuators, which in total are like 10 haptic actuators. And with 10 haptic actuators, we can play with the rhythm, the frequency, the sequency, each one is on off, which one's an on, which one's an off, and the direction or the movement of all these haptics turning on and off. So we are able to develop millions of different animations, haptic animation, that communicate how to manage the situation, right?
Okay.
So this way, through the haptic, you get to know everything that is around you and how to avoid it, so you are secure.
Sure, but I suppose in doing that and in learning where all these things are, as you said, steps or people coming towards you or maybe there's a car in the way or whatever it is, you have to, there's presumably different patterns for all these different things. Is that correct? I mean, you have to kind of learn all these patterns and what they mean.
Not really, because we don't tell you, it's a desk, it's a dog. The haptic tells you how to move. So imagine like a dance when you are not the leader in the dance. Like you're still dancing, you're doing everything. You didn't plan the dance, you didn't do any rehearsal at all, but you flow, right? Mm. So then you're able to dance. You may not even know all the steps the leader in the dance is like leading to do, right? But you kind of flow with that. So imagine strap haptic just like that. There's no, this vibration, this means this. You will feel it because, for example, for upstairs, when you're near an upstairs, you will start to feel animation from the chest all the way to your shoulders. No, sorry. From inside the chest, you will feel from the bottom of the device all the way to the top of the device, an animation going from top to bottom, from bottom to top, like boom, 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 right? Mm. And depending on the height of the stairs, we imitate, for example, a bouncing ball going through the stairs, so you can know how high the steps are. So if the steps are really big, you will feel something like this, boom, boom, boom. But if they are so small, you will feel something like this, boom, 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 right? So this way, you know, if you have something in your head, you will feel first a vibration in your shoulders and then a vibration going all the way. You will feel how it's moving all the way to your chest in two steps. So now it means you need to tilt. So you feel on your shoulders and then on the chest. So actually the haptic is like pulling as a string your shoulders for you to tilt down.
Okay.
So the device always tells you what to do to avoid the obstacle.
I'm finding it very difficult to conceptualize this, and I suppose maybe you have to try it out to understand. And I do get that. I suppose I'm trying to understand if I'm walking down a street or if I'm crossing a road or if I'm walking along and there's a step and I don't know the step is coming up. I'm assuming that the device will give me some kind of warning at an appropriate time so that I stop or I kind of explore with my feet. I'm just thinking of things like depth perception, even that you would get with a cane.
Yes, of course. So, yes, firstly, Stuart, you are right. Like, this is really hard to verbalize because it's a haptic language, right? It's a language from the touch. So it's really difficult because the language never tells you words nor sentences. So it's really difficult to verbalize it. You need to try it, and it's so natural. It's like a dance, actually. And you're right. So we have a lot of algorithms which measure every time how dangerous is that scenario you are around. And we have a rubric for that. So dangerous, for example, level one is when you're in your house with no people. I mean, usually blind people really know their house, so they don't need anything, right? But it's just an example. If you're in a house, no people, furniture is not moving, it's just right there, it's indoors environments. So you're in a dangerous level number one. So that will change all the parameters. If you're on the streets, with a lot of people moving around the sidewalk, dogs and kids and people running, people looking to the sky and whatever, cars. And so that's a more dangerous situation. So then we measure that and your speed you're moving and the speed. If you have a moving obstacle, like a person in front of you, you also measure the speed and the trajectory of that person. Think on autonomous vehicle technology, but for humans, right? So think on that. So when you are near the steps, so as you said, Stuart, you will start to feel the vibration on that distance. You need to start to feel it before, right? Because we have our algorithms for that. So you will start to feel it maybe 3 or 4 steps behind. So you don't need even to stop. You were just going to start feeling the vibration about upstairs, and you will just start climbing the steps. And when you are on the last step, it will finish and let you know if they are finished, and then you can continue to walk. So it is seamless. You don't need to stop. So actually, Strum makes any blind people move way more faster than usual.
Okay.
And avoid around 80% of hits on the environment on the daily basis.
Okay. Does this work standalone, or is there some integration with a mobile phone? I mean, would you sort of program routes into it, and it would kind of give you some kind of haptic direction?
Yeah, both. You can use it by yourself, the device alone, or you can connect it through Bluetooth to your phone. That's right.
Okay. And then there's an app, I presume, that you would use to control it. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Okay. That is right.
It really is fascinating technology. I suppose we really need to see it, but it's really great to chat to you. I suppose I want to talk to you about how you've engaged with the community. I just mentioned this to one or two mobility instructors I was chatting to in the last couple of weeks, and they weren't very excited, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. How have you been kind of, because it's one thing talking to blind people, and I'd be very curious to talk. I know on your website there's some people who have been using it and who've been speaking very highly of it. But how have you spoken, how have you dealt, how have you engaged with blind people and engaged with people who teach blind people to be safe?
Yes, actually we are partnering with a blind football team here in Mexico. For them, we're trying them to play football or device.
Brilliant.
Because they hit yourself a lot because they don't use a cane while using football.
Yeah, I could see a definite need for it there. Yeah, definitely.
So strap is something that you need to touch it and prove it just to really understand it, right? So all our testimonies in your website, we have almost over 250 beta testers who are trying our device on a daily basis. And they are all skeptical. They are like, hey, I don't believe you, right? They all say that. So it's really normal.
Okay.
And it's natural. We are expecting this, right? But when you try it, you first are a little bit skeptical. You have your cane with you. You start to move. You see, okay, I tilt. And I didn't even thought to tilt. Because why we use haptics to art? Because the human body, it's a creator made for survival, right? So we're a survival animal. And what is the most survival sense we have? It's the nervous system. That's why it's one of the fastest way to get to your brain, because the nervous system goes directly to your brain, right? It's really fast. That's why when you grab a hot plate or a hot glass, you throw it away. Really, you don't think about, oh, this is hot. Maybe I could burn. Okay, I should put it down. No, you just do it, right? You just react. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we do on your haptic feedback, right? So it comes natural. You are dancing around. You are in a flow with all the environment because you're not thinking about what it is. You are just dancing, right? So imagine like that. And when blind people start to see that, when they put it on and they start to move around the park, with a room full of people and they're not crashing, we're putting things on their head and they just tilt down, or things on the or bumps on the floor and they just go around or pass it through and they notice there is right there, they're okay, this works. So they left their cane a little bit on the wall, right? And they continue without the cane. And then they go steps and stairs. So it's always a transition story. We are not on a fight with the cane. Actually, we love the cane. The cane is our friend, right?
Yeah, I know.
The cane has been here for a long time. And actually, strap can also be used with the cane.
I was going to ask you that because it sounds like an interesting thing that could be used with a cane. I was going to say maybe people who use strap should keep their cane in the bag in case the battery goes. What's the battery life on strap?
The battery life is of 2 days of normal use.
Okay.
It can last up to 3 days. So as well as you charge it with your phone, you won't have any problem. If any case you are run out of battery in the middle of nowhere, we always notify you 1 day before and then midday before. So we always notify you securely. But if there is any case you run out of battery for any reason, you always can plug in a power bank. and you're ready to go. You don't need to wait for it to charge. You just plug it and you're ready to go, right?
I'm interested when you talked about using it with the cane, and I'm kind of it's worth probably exploring this for a sec, because certainly I, as someone who's used a cane, and actually it was interesting because before we came on air you were asking my age, and I don't mind telling people I'm 46. I've been using a cane for a while. But one of the things I've found, I suppose, when I was thinking about strap, one of the things I was thinking about was I would find it very, I don't know that I'd be able to walk out without something in my hand. I would feel very unsafe. But actually, now I'm starting to think about it as you talk. If I was to use the cane and gradually use it less, maybe hold it but not use it properly and rely more on strap but keep it in my hand over time, maybe that might work. How did people use it, you know, who you were testing it with?
Stuart, that's exactly what we're trained to do. You just said it. So our beta testers, we divided in groups. So some of them, we always recommend that the first week you're using strap, you have your cane, yes or yes, right? Because it's this transition and how you get used to it. So yeah, we always recommend this. But after a week or so, it's your decision, right? Our beta tester, we do ask for them to not use the cane, but to test our devices in every scenario, right? So to make sure we can stand alone, and if we can stand alone, you're the cane, better, right? Like doesn't matter. So what we're trying to do here is for you to, as you said, Stuart, use your cane while you use our device. And naturally, one day you are going to be on a need to go to that grocery store, and you will think about, like, for a second, like, what if I go with the strap alone? And maybe because it's a small walking that you already know and you're familiar, you will say, okay, this time I will give it a shot. Naturally, no one will ask you. And you will go and you will turn on our straight line navigation, and you will walk on the straight line. You will go to a dog on the street or to a open hole on the floor, and you will notice, and you will go around, and you will be working and moving so seamless that you will do it again and again, and every time more frequently until it's naturally. Let me start for a second, turn this around to you and ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What if, like I just said, like you have been using the cane for a long time. So the cane is an extension of your hand, right? The cane and you are one are the same, and we understand that. But let's thinking around a little bit. What if we deploy all straps, our devices, to a whole new generation of visually impaired child.
Of course.
When they are 40 and you give them a cane, they are going to say, hell no, I keep my strap, right? So that technology will never be able to die after that it's done.
Yeah, I take your point. I mean, it might be an interesting question to put to a mobility officer. They might have a different view on that. But yeah, I do see what you're coming from. And I guess it's all about habits, and we get used to something and then maybe it's hard to switch. But I can definitely see value in using it with a cane, and as you say, easing off over time. Now, there's some pricing on your website. I know the strap is not released yet, although that's very near to happen. I think sometime in end of October, if I'm not mistaken. How can people kind of find out more? And I know people can order on the website, can't they?
Yeah, of course. Right now we're in pre-order. We're actually a couple of days to stock out our first delivery batch this year. Where you can pre-order your website at strap.tech. There you can see and look and hear about more information, frequently asked questions, beta testers testimony, some of our alliances, some of our press releases with actually mobility officers. Fast Company did a really interesting report from us that they didn't brought us to the interview. They brought a mobility officer and assistive technology doctor, right? And they were chatting about that. So one of them was from the National Federation of the Blind.
Oh, yeah.
On the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So, and they got really interesting point of views. They said some you're saying, Stuart, but they also highlight some interesting things. So we're not in fight with the king, right? You can go to our website and look at all the information, pre-order if you wish. Right now, you just need to put upfront deposits. And you pay all the rest whenever we deliver the unit to you, right?
And it's strap.tech, isn't that right? That's the website.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I suppose it is fascinating technology, and you are a real innovator, and you're to be really commended for that, I think, you know, Diego, because you're going back to when you were age 10 and seeing somebody who maybe needed assistance, and here you are doing something really exciting that there's no doubt there's going to be people who love this stuff. And I think we all need to give it a bit of time and let it get released and see how it sits in the market. I'd love to try it out. So what we should probably do as a follow-on piece, I don't know, in a couple of months, is get our hands on this thing and then come back and talk to you, because I think that would be another interesting piece. But for the moment, Diego, thank you. Thank you not only for taking the time to talk to me today, but for innovating and for being so open to answer all my questions. And I'm sorry I'm so cynical, but thank you. Thank you very much for doing it, because I do appreciate the time you've given us. We'd love to stay in touch with you, and all the best with the launch of Strap. And we will talk to you again very soon. So thanks a million, okay?
Thank you so much, Stuart.
Well, many thanks to Diego Rowell there. I thoroughly enjoyed that chat. I have to say, it was one of the most interesting interviews I've ever done, because I started out very cynical. I'm still highly skeptical, if I'm being very honest. But I can kind of see a bit more where Diego is coming from by the end of that. And I think we need to get this strap technology into a few people's hands and test it out and really understand how it can give you the information to, most importantly, keep you safe. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed doing the interview, and thanks so much to Diego for taking the time. That's all for this episode. We're back next talking Windows 11 with Tristram. Until then, take care and goodbye.